Bibles tonight, the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 7 is where we're going to be at, Joshua chapter 7. And I always approach the time when I get the chance to fill preacher's pulpit with just a big hearty thank you. This is his sacred desk, this is where he stands, and so I realize whose pulpit I'm standing behind. I do, and I've thought about this night, because I've known it for a little bit. I mean, not long. We always rotate with the guys. We take turns on who will be preaching, and up to my turn. I enjoy it. I really do enjoy a chance to get up and preach. And, you know, I do realize also to the teenagers, to the few of you guys, yes, I know anything that I say tonight can and will be held against me with my parents in the audience. I do realize that they're here, and so they can. Any stories that I might bring around or come and tell, I'm sure they'll come quickly to verify if those actually happened or did not happen. But I also am aware that we're coming off of revival fires and how many different men stood behind this pulpit that were great men of God and preachers. And then to hear the messages this last Sunday from home, I was sick and not feeling well. And I do appreciate many of you saying, I hope you're feeling better. I am feeling better. I don't know what it was, but I hope nobody else gets it. So, it is much better, and I thank the Lord to just be in the house of the Lord. It's just no fun not being, or when you are sick, not being here at church. You just miss out on the things of the Lord. You just do. And when you miss out on the things, you often question, or in our household, we talk about things that are going on in church or Sunday school or something like that. Oh, this happened, and I wasn't there for that. You know, this happened. You know, I wasn't there for that either. Okay, and so you just kind of have that feeling when you're not here and you're not in church. And so, I love church. I love coming to church. I love sitting in church and being able to get fed here these past 14 years underneath Pastor Angel. It is just always a joy to be able to hear him. Just as I call it, fillet the scriptures, man. He just gets up and he lets it rip, as he did Sunday, to admonish us, to get us, you know, to do more as a Christian. And that's kind of wherever I come to a time where I get to give a message, it's something God has normally given me. And I'm not going to reinvent the wheel or anything like that tonight. I'm just going to come up and stand up and give you something God has personally given me. I had this thought and this passage of scripture on mine for some time. In fact, I gave a portion of this and reworked it quite a bit with our parent-teacher conference we had not too long ago. So some that were in the parent-teacher conference might remember some, but I've adjusted a little bit, quite a bit, let me say, from what we had our parent-teacher conference tonight. And so, if you would you please stand with me? Joshua chapter 7 for the reading of God's Word. Joshua chapter 7. Can I get rid of this, Brother Jack? I always see preacher do it, and he's got way longer arms than I do. And so I'm going to attempt it. There we go. Get rid of that. Get it out of the way. So I'm not pushing over. All right, Joshua chapter 7. And I'll read in verse number 7, starting verse number 7. It says, and Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou all brought his people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we have been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? I'd like to preach a message tonight just entitled, Not Why, Why Not? Not Why, Why Not? And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I do pray that what comes across in message is clear and can be understood and, Lord, conveyed in the right way, in the right spirit tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts and lives and our minds tonight. I do, again, pray for our pastor. Be with him. Help it be a relaxing time, Lord, with family down there. Lord, give us a good time around your word, your good book. I pray for the young people across the way, Brother Allen and others that are there. And Lord, may we leave here, as been said before, that we're thankful that we came to the house of the Lord. And Lord, again, bless the message. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I got a book from the Cowsons, actually Bible from the Cowsons, the American Patriots Bible. I think Pastor has referenced that before. But in the book of Joshua, I was reading there, starting chapter 1, and I came across an interesting story. And I'll come back to Joshua 7 here and explain what's going on. But I came across an interesting story in that book, and this story reads some of it for you. Captain Russell Riptoe, what a great name of a captain. Captain Russell Riptoe was a member of the Alpha Company, 3rd Battalion, 75th Ranger Regiment, serving in Operation Iraq Freedom in March 2003. Previously, while serving in Afghanistan, Riptoe saw men die for the first time, and it brought a renewal to his Christian faith and a new passion for the Bible, which he carried in his backpack. It goes on to talk about, in the combat diary dated March 27th, Riptoe had written, "Think about Mom and talk about all things happening for a reason, and God knows the reason." On March 3rd, 2003, Alpha Company was manning a nighttime checkpoint near a dam in West Iraq when a vehicle approached. Suddenly, a woman jumped out and cried, "I'm hungry. I need food and water." Protecting his men, Riptoe gave the order to hold back. As he moved toward the woman to see how he could help, when he hesitated, the driver detonated a car bomb. It killed Captain Riptoe, and several others were wounded. Riptoe believed that the words in God's word about "the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." He was later buried at Arlington National Cemetery, and one of the first casualties of Iraq, the conflict there, was Captain Riptoe. And, you know, I tell you that story, it opened with that story just to say, in our lives tonight, I mean, thinking about, as I was reading in this Patriots Bible and Joshua and coming across a story like this, man, I can't say that I've ever, and I know for me, I've never experienced that type of battle, maybe even say fear, if someone would have stopped and was patrolling like that. That's a different level when you're in combat. I mean, you're coming to every day, if you will, fear and trepidation, what might happen. I haven't had any of that. No, my life has, if you will, maybe some scary moments, but I can't say that I've lived fearful. And you know, can't say that I live like a Ukrainian tonight. I can't say that. I can't say that I've lived like someone in a third world country. I've lived in the greatest country there is, still to this day. And I'm thankful for that. Very thankful for that. But sometimes your life can take changes and moments where they kind of take a curve, and there are times in life where things can get scary and you kind of wonder what's going on, what happened, or fearful, afraid. We had such things happen in our school not too long ago. In fact, two things now, as where is she at? Over here on this side. They're both on this side over. My daughter, December 17th, 2021, collapsed in a school classroom, fainted in front of the whole entire classroom, and she's fine. She's all right. And then just 2 days ago, Ms. Brianna was leaving the class from homeroom, or I'm sorry, just before homeroom, and we got done with a meeting, and she collapsed, and she's fine. She's okay. But you think about those things, you know, it was a little, saw her grab a hold of the door frame, and myself and Mrs. Prather were standing there, and she just grabbed Miss Brianna, grabbed her head, and went to her knees, and then all of a sudden down. And so, you know, you've seen that here for us pretty recently with my daughter just a few months ago, collapsing in a classroom, and then Miss Brianna. And it scares you, you know, it really does. When you, Mrs. Thomas has said, in 26 years of teaching, twice in 1 year, I've never had this happen before. This is crazy. Those scary moments, you don't know when they're going to come. You don't know when that's going to happen. 26, I thought about that, you know, twice in 26 years. Again, what are the odds? You know, what? But we find that sometimes our life, if you will, we get afraid. We get fearful. And I'm not talking about little kid scared of the dark, afraid, okay? I'm talking just fearful of what might happen. You know, and I've heard messages preached about this is coming, and it is. And I believe what, you know, we ought to be aware of what's going on around us. We ought to be watchful, mindful of what things are going on. But I don't think we have to live in a state of constant fear. I don't think we have to live in a state of constant trepidation. Is it going to happen? I mean, look at the bright side. We get heaven as long as we're saved. That's the great part. So I took to the Bible, if you will, and found that the word scared or stressed, in fact, is never mentioned in the Scriptures. Not one time. Not even the synonym of the word is found. Anxious, frazzled, nervous, strained, unnerved, and worried. Not in the Scripture. But then I thought about it. Have we just renamed them? We just taken something and put something else in its place. Words like fear, afraid, doubt, even horror are biblical words that, in my opinion, being scared or stressed sometimes can relate to. Dealing with this world and which way it's going to turn or which way it's going to tweet, how it's going to go. If you didn't hear all that happen this week. Scared to death on what's Elon going to do now that he's got a platform of his own. What's going to happen? Like I said, I hear preaching that warns us what's coming. Get ready. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. We should. And maybe it's just another reminder of not why, but why not? Not why, what's going on, but why not? Or maybe the question should be posed like this. How can we help deal with fear? Or maybe the right question is, how biblically can we handle fear? Should we handle fear? So I ask you to turn back in your Bible. We're going to thumb through here from Joshua and bring us up to Joshua chapter 7. If you'll go to Joshua chapter 1, and just kind of give you the overview of the next or the chapters from chapter 1 to chapter 7 of just really what was going on with Joshua to bring us where it's at there in Joshua 7 and verse 7. And in the book of Joshua chapter 1, we see that in verse number 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua." So God's speaking now to Joshua. Moses has stepped off the scene. Joshua has stepped on the scene. He's taking over. And God tells Joshua a few things. Look at verse number 6. I'm just going to highlight some things through some of these verses. He says in verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage." Drop down to 7. "And be thou strong and very courageous." Verse number 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage?" He's asking him over and over, "Have I not been with you? Have I not? Are you listening? Be strong, be courageous, Joshua. You've seen some of the things the children of Israel had to deal with. Are you with me here?" I think he's just trying to maybe get his leader, his commander, to maybe over for overemphasis sake, just to keep telling them, "Hey, you're going to be a leader. Be strong, be courageous." Because he's coming to chapter 7 eventually. We read just a moment ago. We'll talk about that. That's chapter 1. Then we get to handling passing over Jordan. What is the way? You know, chapter 1 ends and chapter 2 starts. And again, Joshua's trying to deal with, you know, coming over, passing over Jordan. And he's, again, tasked with this. And then we see there in verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho." It says, guess what's coming up? Jericho's coming. Here's what you have to keep in front of you, Joshua. Hey, be ready. This is coming. Remember I told you, be strong, be courageous, be ready to go. So that was chapter two. And then we find Rahab and the two spies. And you know that story, and dropping out the cloth to save her. And they destroyed the rest of the city, and she was spared. That was chapter two. Then chapter three, they get ready to move there. In chapter three, I find my place, and take the Ark of the Covenant over Jordan, and look at chapter 3, verse 7 then. Let's look at what it says. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. They may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Again, he's going back to tell him, don't forget, Joshua, I was with Moses, I'm with you. Be courageous. Be ready to go. And he was, you know, he's listening. Thankfully, he's continuing on forward for what God has him do. But we see over and over here, Joshua just kind of receiving the instruction, and he's doing what God had told him to do, marching forward. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't fearful. And I'm going someplace, so stay with me here. In chapter 4, Joshua takes them over, and look at verse 13. And it says there, "About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord into battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life." So we see now that even the people have a fear for this man of God, their leader, their commander. It's kind of transferring, if you will, all the way throughout these scriptures, until we get up to chapter 7 here in a minute. And then they camp at Gilgal. Chapter 5. Keep them over the next page or so if you have to. Get to Gilgal and they camp there. And the angel comes there. And we come to chapter 6. Verse number 1. "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel. None went in out, none went out, and none came in." Nobody went out, nobody left. They're all staying there in the city. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." God tells Joshua what he's going to do. He gives him what's going to happen. "Hey, I've taken care of it for you. I've already won the battle for you." There shouldn't be a need for concern. There shouldn't be a need to be afraid. What I'm trying to get across is over and over, God is reassuring to Joshua, "I've got this with your help. You're there, but I'm behind you. I'm with you. Do you understand? The God of heaven, I'm here for you. I'm with you." And then, of course, they take that crazy 13-time walk around those walls, and the walls come tumbling down. And then there was knucklehead Achan, right? Achan steps on the scene. Sticky fingers Achan. Decides he was going to take it for himself and hide it. Hide it in his tent. And we find that even in chapter 6, there that Achan, he didn't get away with it. He didn't get away with it. God will always find out the sin. He'll take care of it. And we come to verse where we're at right now. Verse number 7 of chapter 7. He has to deal with Achan at Achor, by the way. That's where it was had taken place. And again, we know that Joshua has seen all these great things, has accomplished some amazing things already. But yet he gets to chapter 7 and verse number 7. And that's almost comical to me. And Joshua said, "Alas," like the Lord didn't already know what was going on. "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all put these people over Jordan? Why did you take them out of where they were? Why did we have to cross over? Why did we have to do..." He starts feeling sorry for himself. if you will, he starts pitching a fit about the things that God was already doing. From chapter 1 to chapter 7, we find this is a vast contrast of two men. I say the same man, just two personalities just about. Man, he gets in here and asks several questions and makes several statements about the Lord. As we see here, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? The question that, why'd you bring us over here? Just to kill us, Lord? Was that why you brought us over here? And he starts feeling sorry for himself. Or maybe he just gets to the point where he's afraid. That's where I thought I've come across. Maybe he's just afraid. Maybe just the fear of the unknown. What may happen? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side, Jordan. Why don't we just stayed over there? It'd have been much easier. He goes on, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Like they did before, they're going to do it again. So just get ready, Lord. Just keeps going on. Then verse number 9. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Oh, no, Lord, what are we going to do? He's the Lord. He's the God of heaven. He's the God that's already accomplished all these other great things. He took care of it. All Joshua needed to do is take care of the sin, and that he does finally. But we see that Joshua, my friend, is no different sometimes than you or I. He is human. He's human. We get afraid. We get fearful when things don't go exactly like we thought they were going to go. Well, I didn't get that promotion. I didn't get that job. I didn't get what I thought was. Why? Why, Lord? Why did you do this to me? Why are we here? Can't you hear him say that? I can. Why did you do this to me? You brought me as a leader. You put me in this position. And now this is why don't you just cut our name out of every other book there is? Because that's what's going to happen, Lord. He starts feeling sorry for himself. Have you been there? So I've been there sometimes. Just feeling sorry for yourself. Fearful, maybe afraid, or just kind of pitching a fit, if you will. Well, tonight there's some things. Point out the first one. Number one, with Joshua, fear causes us to forget. Fear causes us to forget. It causes all those things that we went from chapter 1 to chapter 7. All the great things that happened. Did he not remember? Did he not think about all those things that God brought him through and God kept reassuring him of? Kind of like us sometimes. Like me? God does all these great things, and then, well, it's this area, Lord. Why did you have to let this happen? We start feeling sorry for ourselves. That's where Joshua was. I mean, look at the progression of things. Almost that woe is me attitude. He was sad. Then I think he just got mad at the situation. In verse 7, even verse 8, he says, oh, Lord, what shall I say? He got quiet. Didn't know what to do. Then he was puzzled. You know, he's puzzled. I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure. All these things I feel like we face sometimes. I face sometimes. What's going on? Why is this going on? Puzzled. What do I do? Why did you have me do this? What's going on? Emptiness. Maybe these are areas, folks, that I think as Christians, we face emptiness, fatigue, guilt. Finally, I think he gets to the point where he just got bitter in a moment of just bitter. As he says, and cut off our name. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Just get bitter. It reminds me of somebody else in the Bible. Jonah, flip over there very quickly. Jonah chapter 4. Man, Jonah the same. God tells him to go to Nineveh. He doesn't go. He runs. Finally, God gets his attention. He goes to Nineveh, cries against that great city. They repent. Guess what? Jonah's not happy. Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So God said, I was going to do it, but they've repented, so I'm not going to do what I said I was going to do. Look at verse chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. He got mad. He got mad about it. And I feel like Joshua is somewhat in the same boat. In fact, God says, wouldn't you just rather me just kill them all? And Jonah says, yeah, probably would have been better. Probably would have been just fine. And then he finds satisfaction in a gourd. What? Then God sends a worm and kills the gourd. And then he just, again, he gets mad. And really, he's bitter. That's where he ends up. He's bitter. And can I say, sometimes fear brings us and drives us to that point where we just get bitter about the matter. We get bitter. Bitterness is a root problem. It's got to be pulled out, plucked out, taken out. Because it can destroy. And if it wasn't for the fact of God, if you want to say it this way, smacking Joshua upside the face saying, what are you saying? What's your problem? Quit feeling sorry for yourself. As he did in verse number 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, back there if you would, Joshua 7. The Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. I just can picture him on his knees or laying down or something. Get off your knees. Quit belly aching. Come on, Joshua. You don't need to do this. And he goes on, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Why are you crying about this? Is it really something to cry about it? What does he tell him? Verse 11, Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded thee, for they have even taken the cursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. He says, I even know where it's at. I'll tell you where it's at. It's amongst their own stuff. Go find it and take care of him. Take care of that guy. And you know what? Sometimes sin just has to be dealt with. Sin has to be dealt with in our own lives. We just have to get to the point where we get so sick of it that it has to be dealt with. That has to be dealt with. And sometimes we let it go and we let it go. It's like that nagging splinter in a finger that just keeps going instead of just taking it out. It's going to keep bothering us. I was shutting the door during revival fires upstairs in the Spanish auditorium, and I got a giant, my wife and my brother were both there taking a giant splinter out of my hand, and it was the hand that you shake hands with. So every time someone would come by, for a whole day I dealt with it, and finally, this is nonsense. What am I doing? Get rid of it. Get it out. It's got to get pulled out. And we just have to deal with, God has to deal with us sometimes, with our sin. With that sin of being afraid, being fearful, being afraid. The test that God gave Joshua with his attitude, Joshua failed, but he never stopped listening to God. He never stopped. Joshua 7, those verses we just read, 10 and 11, God told him to go handle Achan and Achor. Achor means trouble. Where sin is, trouble will be. When the devil wants to bring your past up, heard a preacher say this, just remind him of his future. Amen. Remind him where he's going. Because he's going to bring it up. He's going to bring it before you. Our why causes us to forget what God has done for us. We often take more time complaining. I take more time complaining about the things that I should waste the time to complain about. Where I could spend a lot more time just thanking God for what he has done in our lives. He's done so much. Are you saved? Then he's done enough. He's done enough. He's done enough. So we spend more time fearful and afraid of what is he going to do? Instead of just fear not. Fear not. Let's look at it. As we continue in the life of Joshua chapter 8, and I'll be quick, realize the time. Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, there it is, fear not. Fear not. Neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and arise. Go to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. man, God tells him again exactly what's going to happen. Man, if the war plans were set out before you and you knew, I mean, I've read a lot of books. Nobody knew what was exactly going to happen at the beginning of that book till the battle happened and it was all over and the war was finished. God told Joshua exactly what was going to happen. Can I say we've read the back of the book? We know exactly what's going to happen. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be fearful. We don't have to live our lives that way. Joshua just needed to hear, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. We've been doing too much of hanging out under that fear too often. Number two, fear not causes us to fight. Joshua figured out, you know, I'm going to have to fight. It causes us to just grit our teeth. We're going to have to fight. There's some things that are worth fighting for. There's some things that our own lives we shouldn't cave to in fear. We shouldn't cave, or we should be concerned with and challenged by our Bible reading, our beliefs, our standards, our separation, our purity for holy and right living, our entertainment, our quiet time with God, our sacrificial giving. We should fight for those things. Those are things we should fight for. Those are the things that we should want. What about our witness? It was such a joy to be able to go out last night and Brother Dan be able to see someone saved, a man named Courtney. Brother Dan opened the Bible and showed him from God's Word. He stood there in his garage and just listened. Never gets old. Amen. Never gets old. And you say, well, I can't go witness. I can't get out. Then are you praying? Are you doing your part? Are you fasting? Or are we just fearful? Are we afraid? Sometimes I feel like we've lost the fight because we have people that are just fearful. They're afraid. Prayer and planning to visit, preparation, our hearts and our lives that are ready for when pastor preaches on Sunday morning. Does it bother you when people don't walk the aisle? It does me. Does it bother you when you see that somebody's under conviction and they don't walk the aisle? It does me. Does it bother you when you know somebody else is afflicted or something's going on and they're in the fight and you don't want to take up the fight? Does it bother you at all? Or are you just afraid that's somebody else's fight? I'm too fearful. I'm too afraid. I'd rather not. What about it? Where are we at? I'm just saying, tonight it's me. Where are we at when it comes to the why? Are we too concerned? Why? It doesn't concern me, Lord. I don't need that. Maybe we just need a reassurance of fear not. Fear not. We kind of conclude with the last one in Joshua chapter 10. If you'll turn over there, Joshua chapter 10. I don't have time to go through all that story that was there, but an amazing story in Ai where the king had fled, amazing battle tactic, basically deceived him from leaving the city, and he left the city, and Joshua took half of his men or some of his men and hid behind the city, and when all the men left, the Bible says they, in fact, all of them left and left the city unattended, so they were encamped behind it, came around when they left the city to go follow Joshua and destroy the city while they were attacking, trying to, you know, chase after Joshua. And when they turned around and see their own city burning down, Joshua said, attack, boys, they're retreating, go get them. And God, again, won a great victory for Joshua and his men again. And then the word got spread about what was going on with Joshua. King here and a king here and a king here. And they tried to even deceive Joshua and his men. Joshua, he figured it out. He understood. And so we pick it up in Joshua chapter 10 and let's go to verse number 24 there. And it came to pass when they brought out these kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. How'd you like that? Stand on their necks, boys. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Verse 25, and Joshua said unto them, there it is. Joshua struggled with it. God had to reassure with Joshua to fear not. Now Joshua is telling others, Joshua chapter 10, verse 25, fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong. Huh, heard that one before, and of good courage. Back from chapter 1, be of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. He says, don't worry, boys, I got this. The last or the third, fear not, causes you to live carefree. Joshua somehow finds some courage. He not only takes out one king, he took out five kings. And he encourages the children of Israel to fear not. Fear not. Maybe that's just what we need tonight. Maybe we don't need the prescription drugs or the real drugs or the self-help books or the podcast or the 1, 2, 3 repeat after me song. Maybe we just need a David to tell a psalm and like 1 Corinthians 28:20, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Maybe like in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Even 41:13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, say unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Maybe it just needs it like a Daniel. Daniel 10:12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand. Maybe a Joel 2:21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Maybe it's in the New Testament, to Matthew 1:20, an angel came to Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take Mary thy wife, for thou which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. Maybe he even told it, fear not, to more of the area of Mary. In Luke 1:30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Or Luke 2:10, to the shepherds, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Or maybe it was to that great Apostle Paul in Acts 27:23-25. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and I am served, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told me. Maybe it was just over and over throughout the scripture tonight. We just need to be reminded to fear not. The fear not. So may I conclude by just saying God wants us to fear not. In fact, I know he does. 2 Timothy 1:7, closing with this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't know where you're at tonight. I know where I was at. I know where I've been at. Sometimes fear just overtakes. And I just need a reminder. Instead of asking the why not, just ask, fear not. Fear not. God tells us over and over and over and over in Scripture, fear not. Or maybe you're here tonight. He said, I'm fearful because I don't even know where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm not sure of my eternal home. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Can I tell you, friend? God already settled it all for us. He sent his son Jesus to die on a cross to save us. His death, burial, and resurrection. He shed his blood for us. Sacrificially. Thankfully. I'm glad that's something I don't have to fear. I don't have to be afraid. I hope you are the same. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the pianist comes. Where are each one of us tonight? Maybe you're here, like I said at the beginning, about salvation and ended with salvation. Maybe you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Say, Brother Mike, I'm not sure. I don't know for a Bible reason that I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. I'd sure like to know. I don't want to be embarrassed, but I'll slip my hand up. It's just me looking. Say, I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm saved, but I'd sure like to know. By that account, everybody is saved tonight. Where are you? Are you in that fear mode? Maybe it's just another dose of fear not. Heavenly Father, bless again the message, what was said. I pray for our church. Help us as we conclude this last week of the program. Help us not to be afraid, not to be fearful. Help us with to fear not. And we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. As the pianist played, we'll just play a verse of invitation.